This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
Peter, you look very handsome.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
I want to go chase the squall.
Peter's nothing interesting to say.
This is Gil.
Now, from the ESPN New York news desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to ENN. I'd like to start off, if I can, by saying good evening to Michael.
But I'm a bad teammate. Both of you take a walk. We'll be back. No music out.
Really great moment.
We've had a lot of great moments on the show.
That's right. And I'd also, if I can, I'd like to say good evening to Don.
Far be it for me to program ENN.
Okay.
But Michael's time is limited, so I'm not sure when you want to go to his story. But the sooner the better it might work out.
All right. Well, then let's have Michael open ENN with this story.
All right. So in the ninth inning yesterday, and this is something that all of us, the writers, all of us on the crew, we've talked about this for 2 years, that we knew there was a guy named Chaz Rowe as a pitcher, and we know the Yankees had Tyler Wade. So I said, right. You know, everybody kept saying when they're going to face each other, it's going to be Roe versus Wade, which is a landmark Supreme Court ruling.
Yep,
true.
So it happens the last out of the game, and I said, well, we've talked about it for years, and here it is. It will decide this game. RJ has audio of it. Why don't you play it, RJ? Ooh.
And it has been talked about for years, and we finally see it here at the stadium. Roe versus Wade.
Here is Yankee second baseman number 14, Tyler
with the game on the line.
Wade, number 14.
Okay. To me, totally harmless. First, a couple of things. So a couple of people say on Twitter, oh, bad pun. That's not a pun. If no. I said Chaz is trying to row his way home, that's a pun.
Thank you.
That was not a pun. That was not a pun. But there's one guy on Twitter, I'm not even going to give him his name, he @ Flip, at Flip's address on Twitter, and goes, Mr. Filippelli, perhaps you could speak to Real Michael K. about joking about Roe versus Wade during Yankee games on the Yes Network. # inappropriate. How did I joke about Roe versus Wade?
You didn't. You acknowledged an historic ruling. However, whatever side you fall on, you cannot argue the significance.
Right, and was I joking about it?
No.
Well, it's intended for a smile or amusement, I could argue, right?
But it's not a joke. It was. I didn't bend it anyway. I said it's Roe versus Wade, which is exactly what it was. But somebody couldn't wait to try to get me in trouble. That's what life is about now. He wanted. Now it's just an individual person. But when I saw it, it so angered me because I kept. I always game plan in my head. Well, what happens like? If Flip reads this and like they demand, I wasn't going to apologize. I didn't do anything wrong. That was not an apology needed. I was not making fun of anything. I didn't make any allusions about what Roe versus Wade is. I just said it's Roe versus Wade. It wasn't a joke. It was meant to make people smile. That look, it's the same name as the Supreme Court ruling, but there was no joke about what the ruling is. There's nothing to joke about there.
That was a big example of someone just trying incredibly hard.
Oh, my goodness. Not only trying, but that's what the world is now, that people are waiting to pounce.
Only losers.
Well, but there's a lot of people waiting to pounce because they want to get their 15 minutes. But some things are pounceable, some things aren't. And that wasn't. Now, if you had, in a humorous way, showed your hand on the ruling.
Right. That's not the place for it.
Then the other side can say, I don't think that's right. I can't believe Michael did that.
You and
did
they'd not be absolutely right. They would be absolutely right. But I said, we've talked about it for years, which we have. And here it is, Roe versus Wade to decide the game. And this guy @ my boss to get me in trouble. Jackwagon. That's it.
I appreciate that. That needs to be done.
Now, maybe, Michael, because I don't want to keep people ideas. But that same person would probably have a huge problem with, other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, how was the play? Because that sounds like a person where not enough time can pass.
Right.
Because aren't you kind of making light of the president being assassinated?
Yeah, I
but you got to have some ability to.
And can you imagine also for this person, and if you look at his, he's a musician, songwriter, singer, producer. Can you imagine being that upset about that?
No,
that would drive you to write, to tweet at my boss to because it hashtag inappropriate? I'd like to, I almost DM'd him and go, how is that inappropriate? Tell me how that's inappropriate.
There are people out there that probably don't like you. And they just want to pounce at an opportunity because you can't possibly be upset by that. And I don't think that guy was upset by that. He just saw an opportunity to get rid of you because if for whatever reason he doesn't like you.
Sad.
All right,
please,
guys. Peter,
speaking
of sad, it may be sad for Cam Newton. He was asked. Bill Belichick was asked if he would consider using multiple quarterbacks.
Ooh.
Always say I'll do it. I think it's best for the team. It gives us the best chance to win. So. Well, whatever that is, I would, you know, I would certainly consider that. Let's run unbalanced line or double unbalanced line or, you know, 23 personnel or, you know, whatever it is. If that's if it helps us win, then, you know, I would consider anything.
Cool. I don't know what you're talking about, but I will say this. If I'm Cam Newton, I'm sorry. I know this is, and this is perfect tie into the Joe Judge conversation. I know this is very Belichickian. But, God, I can't imagine being Cam Newton and really there's a serious conversation about whether the job is his to lose against Jared Stidham and Brian Hoyer.
I got to tell well, he's not saying he's going to lose a job, but he could use multiple quarterbacks.
No, but he won't say – it's also not his job to lose, though.
But,
they won't really say that.
But Cam Newton came with his hat in his hand, his beautiful hat, because there weren't many people clamoring for his services.
Right.
I'm sorry.
You don't think that's a legitimate conversation? I don't know. I don't know.
No, honestly, I don't.
Quarterback.
I don't think it's a legitimate conversation.
They supposedly really like Stidham.
Yeah.
That's again. I don't know anything about Stidham. I've heard they like him, and I know that Cam's. Cam's skill level was down a bit, and his production was down a lot since 2015. He has not been the same guy, but I'm sorry.
Well,
I'm giving the nod early on, certainly, to the guy who's taken a team to a Super Bowl in the last 5 years. Sorry, that's how I do
that, it. I think that would be a mistake on your part.
Also, Peter, this guy got released from the team that he took to the Super Bowl, so he's got no kick coming.
But I believe there was something going on there.
Yeah,
I don't know what it was.
But Peter... I think you're looking at it the wrong way. I mean, you're entitled to your opinion. You might end up being right. I think you have to look at it this way. He likes Stidham. I think this is his quarterback. But Cam becoming available to him was just too good to pass up. It wasn't like he went out and was winning a bidding battle for this guy because he felt like, I got to find a starting quarterback, and then won the battle. This is a guy that was just there, and Belichick knows talent. He's not going to let talent go by. But I think that thing that is out there is that the people legitimately not sure he can play anymore. So Belichick's going to take the chance on him. But I think right now Belichick on his depth chart probably has Newton too. That doesn't mean he
Newton's
can't win
there.
The job.
Newton's not there on a scholarship. I agree with Don. He's not. He doesn't have this job. He has to go out and show that he could still play. There's questions about his health.
And to Peter's point, maybe he will because Peter has faith in him. But right now, in Belichick's mind. He has to win that job.
It's just there's something so weird to me about the whole Cam thing. I don't know. I never
quarterbacks
understood
are so, why was it so long, Peter? There's nothing wrong. There's nothing politically. It's just that, listen, general managers know talent, and maybe they just feel like this guy doesn't have it anymore. That doesn't mean he can't surprise people. But right now, people in the know look at him, and they look at him as damaged goods. And he's going to have to prove them wrong. And I hope he does.
I'm going to say something that's awkward, but it's just how I feel. I feel the standard for black quarterbacks becoming damaged goods is a lot it's a lot tougher a standard than white quarterbacks. I'm sorry, I do.
Well, but give us an example.
Cam Newton, Colin Kaepernick, players who are in Super Bowls.
I'm so disagree with you on that.
I'm sorry. White quarterbacks stay in the league for 20 years bums. All-out bums who last for 18 years. Never accomplish a thing.
This is
and get job after job after job. Okay, but he goes from a Super Bowl to being beat up, to being persona non grata, to he cannot get a job?
But wait a minute.
Dude, now he has to fight with a kid who played for one decent season at Auburn?
But it's apples and oranges because, yeah, they're taking white quarterbacks off the scrap heap. They're not starting in the league. I mean, they might have jobs. And Newton has a job. You knew Newton was going to get.
Some do start, though.
You knew he was going to be signed. You knew he was going to be.
Don, in my life, I have seen career backup bums who happen to be white who get starting jobs late in their career. It seems like if you're a black quarterback who's absolutely the top of the heap and you have a bad 2 years, it's like, let's just get this guy out of the league as fast as we can.
You're wrong. He didn't have a bad 2 years because he had a bad 2 years. He ruined his shoulder. That's a pretty important part of the body for a quarterback. That's why he didn't have a job. This has nothing to do with him not playing well.
But he has. But guys, he has a job. He was going to be on a roster this year. Just nobody was going to give him big money in multiple years. The Patriots were able to get him. If the Patriots said no, somebody was going to give him a deal. He was going to play in the NFL. It's just that, unfortunately, because of the injuries, people are going to want to see if he could play. He wasn't banned from the league.
Geno Smith has a job, Peter, and Geno Smith didn't ever do anything.
But Geno Smith was... that's true. Geno Smith was an example of a quarterback who wasn't much, who's managed to last around the league. You think Geno Smith's ever getting a starting job again?
He probably doesn't deserve it.
Probably doesn't.
Talking about white guys. Tell me the white guys that got jobs that didn't deserve it.
I mean, it's not a matter. Deserve is. I'm not going to say the words didn't deserve, but I'm saying get opportunities again. It just seems like there is a longer. The leash is longer.
But Cam got the opportunity.
Joe Flacco has a long leash.
Joe Flacco won a Super Bowl.
I understand that. Are you telling me Joe Flacco during a Super Bowl winning year was nearly as good as Cam in 2015?
But he didn't have a shoulder ravage by injury.
Right. I'm not disputing the injury. I'm not disputing that Cam went downhill. And by the way, you may disagree with me, but there are a lot of people nodding their heads in agreement that while it may not be true, there is this feeling of prominent black quarterbacks who don't appear to be treated in the same light as prominent white quarterbacks. We're going to see Alex Smith get nursed back to getting an opportunity. I guarantee it. He almost died on the field, and Alex Smith will get a chance again. I guarantee it. I hope he does. I pray he does. But I just feel like it's the same standard.
Colin Kaepernick, and there were extenuating circumstances to that, which we could all agree was wrong. What other quarterbacks didn't get opportunity? Cam's getting an opportunity.
Robert Griffin III has an opportunity. He's a player in the league.
RG3 opportunity at Jace. I mean,
you can talk about Flacco's the backup quarterback of the Jets. It's not like somebody is backing up the truck to make him a starting quarterback.
Highest paid athlete in history is a black quarterback. And the next guy who passes Mahomes is going to be a black quarterback. That's just a bad argument.
Listen, I'm not saying it's logical. I'm telling you the Cam thing felt very weird to me. I never understood. Players get injured. Drew Brees early in his career had an awful injury. Players have awful injuries.
Right, and then the Miami Dolphins wouldn't take him because of that injury.
But my point is, in the end, it's certainly a good thing that someone took an opportunity on him. And how could Cam Newton, who had just been the best quarterback in the league, or certainly a top five quarterback in the league, there's no opportunity waiting?
Well, there is. He's got it in New England.
Hold on. New England.
And are we also going to pretend like there weren't a lot of people who didn't like Cam's act because they did think he was too boastful and talked too much, or they didn't think he hustled enough or played on a lot of the same tropes that African-American players have always dealt with? Are we not going to say that that's not a real thing?
But I don't think that's the reason why people weren't giving him a multi-year contract.
But you can't argue with what we know about this league that my argument's crazy. The burden of proof is on you. This league has proven to be racist over and over again.
You're the same guy who mocks the Chargers because Tyrod Taylor is getting the starting job. So, I mean, how do you have a leg to stand on?
That exception doesn't prove the rule.
But you're not proving the rule either. Colin Kaepernick said they're extenuating circumstances.
You're telling me that because there are other black quarterbacks who are bums and work as backups, that proves that black quarterbacks aren't treated to a different standard.
But I'm saying that's not true. I don't know what you're trying to prove, though. I don't know where you're going with this. I need more proof.
All I'm saying is I understand there was a bad injury, but to me, Cam Newton at this stage in his career, having to be hat in hand and compete. Now, granted, he's competing with the Patriots, so he's happy to do it because it's the Patriots. It's an opportunity to win. But if it, but for him to be in this situation, to me, makes me feel a way. I can be wrong. But to me, in 2020, to say that the burden of proof is completely on me, to think that a loud, brash, outspoken, sometimes obnoxious even, but really successful black quarterback could not be treated well by this league, I don't think that burden of proof is crazy on me.
But
I don't think that
he didn't get a job because he was not effective or because of his attitude, as you said. He didn't get a job because of a really bad injury. And because of the pandemic, nobody was able to examine him.
By the way, I just want to correct someone in terms of using English that makes sense. Peter's guilt is showing again. Teddy Bridgewater missed almost 2 years and got a payday in Carolina. True, very happy to check your privilege, Peter. You can disagree with my argument. This has nothing to do with privilege. That's just not what the word privilege means. That I understand people disagreeing with it. I understand it being a uncomfortable conversation that other people may not feel like is true at all. But I have always been sort of miffed by how quickly it went from Super Bowl to we don't know if this guy's capable of throwing a completion in this league again. I'm sorry. That's just how I feel.
Well, I mean, we can do this for the next hour. I disagree with you on this.
That's fine. I'm okay with you guys disagreeing.
And you talk about burden of proof, but the idea is that you just can't throw it all the time out. You got to give me something here because I'm willing to listen, but I don't see it. There's been no indication that he wasn't given an opportunity, anything other than the fact that he has struggled the last couple of years and he's had major surgeries. That's it.
If I was armed with a better stat sheet of other quarterbacks who had similar years where they were down a couple of notches and the conversation and even had injuries and the conversation didn't become are they even capable of playing this position anymore. The conversation around it, it's not that I think he's being blackballed. Let me be clear. I don't think he's getting treated like Colin Kaepernick. So let me separate that. I'm not suggesting it's the same thing. It just seems that with a player with his skill set as I'm indicating, maybe his skin color, all of a sudden, if something's not working quite the way it was, instead of it being like, hey, he's off a bit, it becomes, can he play the position? And to me, that is inherently a racial conversation when it comes to an African-American quarterback.
And the problem, the only example you gave was Kaepernick. Kaepernick was robbed of the opportunity to even show that he could still play in the league.
Right.
Newton is giving a golden opportunity because you know Bill wants to win, right? So he's on a team. We'll see what happens with all the guys that opted out and all that. But if he still has something left, Peter, if he outplays Stidham, Belichick's going to give him the job. And he's going to have the best coach in football on a team that has a chance to be halfway decent. So he is being given an opportunity here. So
I just...
Your argument would be better if it was week six and nobody signed him. He's getting an opportunity, and a tremendous opportunity.
Well,
better than he probably would have in Jacksonville.
Well, but Don, how low on the list do you think him fighting for a job in New England was? If Cam could have gotten a starting job and paid $4.5 million, he would have taken it.
But nobody wanted to give him that because of his injury, not because of the color of his skin.
So
a white guy with the same problem. Look, Drew Brees had his contract voided. Nick Saban voided his contract with Miami because of a shoulder injury. And he's white as far as I know.
Pretty white. I'm just surprised no one would have taken a shot. It just seemed, but listen, maybe Cam's also obnoxious and a problem, and I don't know that. It just seems like that conversation's... Listen, I understand thinking that it's a crazy argument, but... Let's just be realistic about the inherent, when you talk about racial disparity in sports, there's nothing like the conversations around black quarterbacks. How recently were we talking about whether or not Lamar Jackson should be playing wide receiver? This isn't like a crazy thought that I'm having. Like, oh my God, is it possible that he got held to a higher standard and people were not as interested in him? There are teams that don't line up. How many starting black quarterbacks have the Giants had? There are a lot of teams who aren't rushing to get starting black quarterbacks.
But just because race has been proven to be an issue doesn't mean that every time you want to bring it up that you automatically win the conversation.
100%. That's why I'm happy to have the argument. But I'm just telling you, that's what I've always felt strange. And I hope that Cam turns out to still have it. You know, maybe it turns out he doesn't. And he's just completely broken, and they saw it in Carolina, and that was the reason. And maybe that's what it was. I just always found it to be odd.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Speaking of injuries, Eagles running back Miles Sanders week to week with a lower body injury. He was added to the injury report earlier today, according to Tim McManus, but he should be ready for the start of the season. Now, Don, speaking of, well, I don't know if I'll say speaking of racial issues, though it certainly could be weaved in here. Video now has been released because of this countersuit filed by Masai Ujiri, the Raptors president. He got into it with a Bay Area sheriff after the NBA Finals, the final game of the NBA Finals last year, when he went on the court and had an altercation. The video shows the deputy, Alan Strickland, grabbed Masai Ujiri by his suit jacket and shoved him and told him to back the bleep up as Ujiri was clearly attempting to show his team credential. Have you seen the video?
I'm just trying to punch it up now because it's all over the place here. I want to be able to see the video, but it just seems to me absolutely ridiculous that there has to be physical contact over something like that. Now, I understand being on the court. Hey, it's probably a difficult job, right? Because there are a bunch of people that want to be on the court. You want to be able to protect the player. So I understand that you just can't let guys on the court, but to see a guy in a suit, even if you don't recognize who he is, pulling out the credential, why does it have to get physical? I don't understand.
Also,
I'd like to see the video. I can't find it.
If you go to the main ESPN story, I believe it's there.
Okay.
But I'll also say this. One thing that I found interesting about the video was it's not like there are a lot of people trying to get on the court because the game was in the Bay. The game was in Oakland. The game was not in Toronto. So when the Raptors won the game, it's not like you have a flood of people trying to get on the court. He's basically what appears to be the only person walking towards security, and security just shoves him.
I don't see any reason why it has to get physical unless he was, again, I want to see the video, unless he was like being aggressive, like pushing to get on the field, on the court, and he felt that he had to get physical to restrain him from getting on the court. Again, I want to see it. I hate to be the judge of it. I'm just searching it now, but talking and searching hasn't helped me at all. You said it's on the main.
It was in the main storage on ESPN. You'll find it. You'll see it there. By the way, Notre Dame's football team not practicing today and possibly not tomorrow after Notre Dame has shifted to remote instruction through at least September 2nd. They suspended in-person instruction after a rise in, guess what, positive tests for the coronavirus. Notre Dame has reported 222 confirmed cases out of 1,287 tests since August 3rd, with 72 new positives on Tuesday, 82 on Monday. The football team reported 2 positive tests out of 117. So, Don, we talked about it. College football.
Oh, my God.
Wait, are you on the video?
Yeah. I mean,
it's awful.
You see the lanyard. And all right, so you see he's pulling out the. You see the lanyard. It says NBA Finals on it. And he pushes him, all right? And then obviously they're talking, but you see the credentials in his hand. He pushes him again. This is ridiculous. Now, I don't know what he was saying to the security guy. Like maybe he got, I don't know, was he verbally abusing him to where he got upset and pushed him? But the initial push, Peter, you see the lanyard. And when people don't know what I'm talking about, the lanyard, it's that plastic case that the credentials in, and then the necklace, for lack of a better word, goes around, and it's usually fabric that's wide enough that it'll say NBA Finals or whatever the event is. You clearly see he has a credential. He's wearing a suit. He's walking onto the court, pulling out what clearly is a credential. Now, if you want to stop him to look at the credential, I understand that. They're probably under orders to do that. There might be people that might go lengths to try to fake that. But to get physical with him twice, no, he's going to win this suit going away.
Yeah, it's not going to.
Oh my God, that's why I wanted to see it. That's ridiculous.
I know it was. I had not really thought much about this suit in a long time, and then when I saw the video, I was pretty struck by it. By the way, The NBA, of course, their ratings have not been great during the bubble situation. However, Don, big bump last night for Blazers-Lakers. 3.45 million viewers on TNT, up 13% from the same from the window on day two of last year's playoffs. So Portland's win delivered the largest NBA audience since the restart on July 30th, comfortably passing the Lakers Clippers on the first night back. Both primetime NBA playoff games have increased double digits over the comparable windows last season. So to make a long story short, Don, the bubble basketball has not been good ratings-wise, particularly with these daytime games. However, now that we're into the playoffs, primetime bubble games are doing better than first-round games last year.
Well, a couple of things at play here. Everybody's ratings have been up. Like, NHL is doing very well. They're up. And you said the NBA, some down, but in generally has been up. To defend the NBA, a lot of those ratings are based on games that didn't have a lot of meaning early on, so it was probably hard to engage. Also, what it tells me is we all thought the ratings would be through the roof, right? I guess they didn't get to that point. So maybe they're a little down on what expectations were because everybody's home. But now we're starting to see things loosen up a little bit. So not everybody is home the way they were back in March, April, and May, right?
Yeah, it's a different situation.
But it also tells you too, Peter, now that they're up compared to last year, yes, some of it's the pandemic, but some of it is, to Mark Cuban's point, hey, people watch TV in the summer. Maybe this whole idea that summertime is death, like that's when everybody goes on hiatus because everybody's on vacation, nobody's home. Maybe the summer, if the NBA decides to change their time, just like the NHL's thinking of doing the same thing, that maybe the summer can be something. Maybe you can have a championship decided or playoffs being played in August and September.
It's a really good point, Don. Because think about it like this. If this was a normal first round, right, it's what, late March, early April?
Early. No, we would be like second week of April.
So every kid is in school. Now, with kids out of school, how many moms and dads are saying on weeknights, let's throw on the games? Keep it on the house. 9 o'clock tips when kids go to bed, it's not the same thing. Mm-hmm. But now you have a game at 6:30 when people are having dinner. Then right after dinner, you roll right into a 9 o'clock game. No one's waking up early. So it is very possible that the playoffs will do better in the summer.
And I think another thing at play here that people aren't paying attention to for both the NBA and the NHL, and I guess a little bit for baseball, is that that first net game against the Raptors was on ESPN, but it was also on YES, right? So that's going to affect the national number.
It's a good point.
When every net fan's going to watch it on YES, because most of the people watching a game like that are going to be net fans, because the Raptors are different because they're up in Canada. But the regional coverage still happens. Then once you get out of the first round where everything's on national television, those numbers should go up. Like, there was an Islander game, the first Islander game when they played the Capitals, I think it was a noon start. And it got, like, on NBC Sportsnet, I think it was like 270,000 people, which isn't great. But the game was on MSG. And in Washington, the game was on Comcast Sports. So the 270,000 people that watched it weren't Islander and Capital fans, so all of a sudden that number looks pretty good. Where if that was exclusively on national television, that number probably doubles. So I think once we get to the second round where everything is exclusively on one channel, Peter, the numbers are going to go up.
By the way, is it normally that? Why is it on YES right now?
Because it's the first round. The first round still
always has
is
local
kept
too?
By the regionals, right? In the NBA and the NHL, the first round, with the exception of a couple of games that are cherry-picked by ABC or NBC, most of the games are still available to the regional network. And then in the second round, network takes everything.
Got it. Okay. So I was just thinking about that. I'm never rooting for a local team, so. You want to hear from Quinn and Williams real quick, Don?
Yeah, why not?
Why not hear from Quinn and Williams? He's ready to break out in 2020.
Last year, I was coming in, man, getting my feet wet with everything, man. This year, man, I'm feeling it, man. Like, I got my body right this offseason, man. I got I got my confidence back this offseason. I got a trainer who been training my butt off with, man, Don Somerville from Different Breed Sports Academy. And, man, I just feel it, man. I'm in great shape, great condition, man. I got my body fat down, so I'm rocking and rolling, man. I feel myself being that person that they draft me to be here to be. And I feel like I'm coming into that person to be a dominant defensive tackle in the NFL.
That's nothing but good news.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what you need if you're a Jets fan. If you're planning on things being different, it's Quinnen Williams being dominant in the NFL. Brooks Koepka has withdrawn from the Northern Trust, but he still hopes to play in the U.S. Open. This is because of lingering hip and knee injuries. But September 17th, that's when the Open starts. That'll do it for ENN on a Wednesday evening.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.